Lest We Forget, The American Dream.
Say, mister, what's this demonstration about?
You a stranger in town?
Yeah, a reporter from one of the news services.
See that little guy with glasses sitting on the platform?
Yeah, yeah.
This parade's for him. Biggest celebration the town's ever had.
Oh, yeah, but what kind of a parade is this? No soldiers? Only men and women, boys and girls, infants in their mother's arms.
Well, I'll tell you. All those people were brought into this world by that little guy up on the platform, Dr. Alvin Shapiro. And we're celebrating his 25th anniversary in this town.
Well, I'll be doggone. Shapiro.
Lest We Forget, The American Dream. Another program in this series dedicated to you, to me, to all Americans, and the kind of America we want to live in.
Our story, A Party for the Doctor, starring Ralph Bellamy.
Ladies and gentlemen, young men and women, boys and girls, babes in arms. It was indeed a fortunate day when Alvin Shapiro decided to embark on the glorious career of medicine.
You're Alvin Shapiro, M.D., and that's you he's talking about. It was a fortunate day when Alvin Shapiro decided to embark on the glorious career of medicine. How easy he makes it sound. You decide to become a doctor, so presto, you're a doctor. If it had only been that easy. Ever since you were a kid, you wanted to be a doctor to help people. But wanting it, studying hard, graduating among the first five in your class, that wasn't enough. The most important thing was that you were Jewish. And the medical schools just weren't having any. So you left the country of your birth because of this, well, you name it. And you had to travel back to the Europe from which your parents had fled to escape this very same thing. You worked hard. And finally...
Thank goodness that's over.
Ditto. That graduation ceremony gave me the willies.
Ditto? Willies? Oh, these last 4 years in Scotland haven't done you much good.
What do you mean? I'm a doctor.
Yes, but where's your Scotch burr, laddie?
I dropped it as soon as I got this diploma. Oh, look at it.
Yeah, it sure is beautiful.
Alvin Shapiro, M.D.
Have you any plans for the future, Doctor?
As soon as I finish interning, I'm going back to the States and find me a small town and settle down as a country doctor. And the smaller the town, the better I'll like it.
One day, 25 years ago, Dr. Alvin Shapiro entered our town. It was a good day for all of us when he picked us from all the others in the country to become his neighbors.
You'll never forget that day. You wanted to be a doctor in a small town, a country doctor. You wanted to get away from the large cities with their large prejudices and work with people. So you finally chose your small town. You chose it because it looked friendly, because it had no doctor.
Just a minute, Doctor. I didn't get your name.
It's Shapiro, Dr. Alvin Shapiro.
Shapiro? Well, Dr. Shapiro, this factory has been in existence for 15 years, and during that time, Dr. Fields in the next town has suited our purposes admirably. What I'm trying to say, Dr. Shapiro, is that we don't want your kind in our community.
What does a man say? Before you have an answer, you're ushered out of the office, and your adversary sits entrenched behind closed doors. Well, you shrugged your shoulders and said to yourself, everyone isn't like that. You weren't going to let Mr. Jones stop you. You'd gone through too much to get this far. So your next step was the school, and Mr. Hiram Mansfield, the principal.
And so, I'd like to offer my services as doctor for the school children.
Oh, I'm afraid that's impossible.
Why?
Well, there's no provision in our budget for a school physician.
But I'm not asking that the school pay me. I'm offering my services without charge.
My dear doctor, you look like a practical man. How do you expect to make a living if you donate your services?
By serving the needs of the people in this community. I'm willing to take the risk.
But I'm not.
You're not?
To put it simply, Dr. Shapiro, I hardly believe you'd meet with a warm reception.
There it was again. Oh, not exactly the words of Prescott Jones. After all, the principal was an educated man, but the meaning, the intent, was the same. So, you left the building and walked down the main street. School was out, and you saw the kids running home. Then, suddenly, a car raced around the corner. There was a boy, a scream. Then, in this town where your services as a doctor had been refused, you found yourself in the street, bending over the boy, doing the things you had been taught to do.
Will he be all right, Doctor?
I don't know yet. You know who the boy is?
That's Pete Mansfield. His father's the principal.
Hello, Doctor.
Come in, Mr. Mansfield.
Thank you.
Cigarette?
No, thanks. Doctor, I hope you won't misconstrue my visit, but I...
How's the boy?
He'll be all right. Thanks to you.
Anyone in my position would have done the same, Mr. Mansfield. At the time, I didn't even know he was your son.
Would that have made any difference?
You know better than that.
Oh. You're making it very difficult for me, Doctor.
Speak up, Mr. Mansfield.
Well, believe me, I'm grateful for what you've done for my son, but for me to help you get established in this community would... Well, it jeopardize my position here. I hope you understand I'd like to help, but...
You'd been in town a month. Your shingle was out and the people knew you were here. But no one came. When you'd meet them on the street, they'd look away. Oh, no, they weren't ashamed. It was just that, well, as the principal said...
To help you get established in this community would jeopardize my position.
You ask yourself, but how did they know? Who told them? Why, you yourself told them. Your shingle told them. Alvin Shapiro, M.D. You got into your car and drove slowly through the darkened streets, hoping to ease the melancholy in your soul. The lighted windows of the homes by the side of the road blinked at you in friendly greeting, and you silently cursed people for making an hypocrisy of such friendliness. Then, suddenly, you saw a man running down the street toward you, frantically waving his arms.
Mister! Hey, please, mister! Mister, you gotta drive me to Dr. Fields.
Why? What's happened?
It's my wife. I gotta get Dr. Fields. The baby's due.
How often are the pains coming?
About every minute.
Where do you live?
That house on the corner. We gotta get Dr. Fields.
We haven't time.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all right. I'm a doctor.
You are? Then what are we waiting for?
There wasn't a moment to lose. So you took over as if you'd been doing it for 20 years. To get rid of the husband, you had him boil water and fetch clean sheets, anything to keep him busy. And then, along about midnight... How beautiful that music sounded to you, the song of creation. You had brought your first child into the world.
Well, Mr. Banks, you've got a boy.
Oh, Doc, that's wonderful. How's my wife?
She'll be all right. She should sleep through the night. Plenty of time to call Dr. Fields then.
Gee, Doc, I don't know what would have happened without you.
Glad I was here to help.
You live around this section?
Right in this town.
My gosh, you must be that Dr. Shapiro.
Yes, I'm that Dr. Shapiro.
You're okay, Doc.
Thanks.
How much do I owe you?
Nothing.
Nothing?
When anybody asks you who brought your son into the world, just remember to say my name correctly. It's not Shapiro, it's Shapiro.
Just a minute.
Just a minute.
Gee, Doc, I'm sorry I woke you. Can you come right away? My wife doesn't feel well. She's asking for you.
What about Dr. Fields?
Well, after last night, we decided that if you're good enough to bring our kid into the world, you're good enough to be our doctor.
It's a girl, Mrs. O'Connor. It's twins, Mrs. Pulaski, twins. A boy, Mrs. Manzoni. 7 pounds, 3 ounces, Mr. Hamilton. A boy, Mr. Korn. Berghoff, Wilson.
And neighbors, here he is, the servant of the community whose 25th anniversary in our town we're celebrating today. Our very good friend, Dr. Alvin Shapiro.
You get to your feet and you walk to the front of the platform. You look out at the faces, the smiling faces. The whole town is there. The Banks, the O'Connors, the Pulaskis, the Mansfields, the Manzonis, the Corns, and the Wilsons. Your neighbors. Happiness fills your throat. This is what you wanted. To serve them. And you're grateful. Very grateful that they permitted you, accepted you. Let you do what you could to help them. You start to speak.
Folks, friends, it seems that I have lived all my life for this moment, to taste it, to find it good. It's not for you to thank me, but for me to thank you for giving me the opportunity
to... Hey, Doc, Doc.
What is it, Steve?
The baby, Doc. I think it's coming. I hate to ask it, but can you break away?
Be right there, Steve.
Folks, I had a speech prepared, but it looks like I'm not going to be able to give it here. Steve Johnson tells me we're getting a new neighbor who can't wait to live in our town, and I've got to welcome him. Tell you what, maybe I'll give him my speech. Maybe I'll tell him how lucky he is to be born in America, in our town. Maybe I'll tell him that living with us, he hasn't a thing to worry about, that we'll do everything we can to give him a break, because we've all learned that it isn't a man's color or his religion or his national background that counts, but only what he is and what he does. How about it? Shall I tell him that?
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, let's get going.
The Institute for Democratic Education has brought you another in the series of Lest We Forget, The American Dream. This program starred Ralph Bellamy. Listen in again next week for another in this series dedicated to you, to me, to all Americans, and the kind of America we want to live in. Not tomorrow, but today.